I'm Patrick Campion, and this is your community NPR station, 89.1 WEMU. And it is time for Creative Impact, which means that we are joined this morning, as we are every Tuesday morning, by Deb Pollock.
Great to be with you today. We'll work this out. This is our first time hosting
together.
Yeah,
we're feeling each other out here. And exactly. We've got an interesting, you sent me this note last night. I was really interested in this topic. I know that the founding principle behind what we're doing here is talking about how the creative industry in Washtenaw County impacts literally almost every other aspect of Washtenaw County. Something we don't think about a lot, though, is, you know, who gets these really creative people moving in the right direction. So I think that's kind of the thrust of what we're talking about today, a little bit at least. So why don't you introduce the guest for today?
Yeah, I think that this, the breadth and depth of all of these creative businesses in our community is outstanding. And our guest today is Eileen Rower from the Great Lakes Performing Artists Associates, which is actually an artist management agency, a nonprofit artist management agency that's been around for now 40 years, celebrating its 40th anniversary this next week. And so, Eileen, we're really happy to have you here to share with us a lot about what GLPAA, as its acronym is known as. And so, first of all, you yourself are a musician, and you've been with GLPAA for a few years. So tell us a little bit about yourself and about the organization.
Sure. Well, thank you for having me. We have been around since 1978, and I came to this position a few years ago. I did graduate from Oberlin and Rice University with cello performance, but in my career, I found that the administrative side was really attractive to me. I liked bringing artists and audiences together, and this organization seemed to fit that, as their mission is developing artists and audiences for the live performing arts in Great Lakes communities.
So it's all over the Great Lakes, but it's housed here in Ann Arbor.
It is, yes. It was started in 1978 by Theodore Letvin and his wife Joan. They started the organization as a way for the University of Michigan Music School graduates to have a platform to step into the professional world of performing arts. They found that the musicians graduating were either not getting employment or not getting management, and so they founded this organization to assist those wonderful, talented musicians to have a place that they could connect with performing arts in our region.
And I know, Eileen, you mentioned to me, you heard me say non-traditional artists. I just wanted to clarify, because we had this conversation off the air. When I was reading the blurb about your organization, what really struck me was, I think when you talk about artist management or talent management, what pops into most of our minds are big athlete contract management
type
people.
Show me the money.
Right. Or, you know, the pop stars, those that manage the careers of pop stars. We don't think about necessarily a lot that these artists that aren't going to be playing for millions of people, but are incredibly talented and need a venue and need a performance space and need to get their talent out there into our communities, have somebody working with them to push that out there. And that really seems like that was the non-traditional part. It's not about tons of money. It's about encouraging growth of these incredible artists and getting them in front of people that would not necessarily have seen what they can do.
Or a stepping stone to that million.
Absolutely, absolutely.
That's correct. And another element of our organization is the Caravan Educational Outreach program. We provide assistance to our artists to be able to develop educational programs for schools and other community organizations. All of our artists not only receive that assistance and consultation, but we also assist them with cost share services such as web design and video production, elements about their emerging artistic career that may not be obvious to them when they come into our organization, as marketing tools that they could use to further their career.
So students, so these are young people primarily who have gone through school and they've learned their craft and they've mastered their skills. And how do they find you? And then walk us through what you do with them.
Sure. Well, we do serve emerging artists, but we do also have some developing artists who might be in mid-career. Maybe they have a teaching position at a major university and they want to expand their career into the performance outlet. They come to us by submitting their application once a year, right around January. And then after a selective process, we invite them to Ann Arbor for a spring live audition, which is then adjudicated by local community members, our board members, and professionals in the performing arts.
Okay. So tell us a little bit about, the impact that you've had on somebody's career. Maybe you have an example of someone who that you could share with us.
Sure. Well, our biggest success story so far is a group called Duo 1717. Jean-Bernard Serin, a baritone out of the University of Michigan, graduated a few years ago with a doctorate degree. His partner, Vina Kulkarni, who's a pianist. They came to us a few years ago wanting artist management, passed all the rounds of auditions, and we were so happy to represent them. One of the very first things we did, though, was change their name. They had started with a name, Duo 1717 Broadway, and we suggested to them to cut the Broadway off because it really didn't do anything to their...
And it was also relatively limiting, I would imagine.
I think so, yeah. It just posed a lot of questions. The next thing we did is we helped them create videos. They didn't have any videos. We suggested to them that they design a website. We helped them with that aspect as well. And then within the first year, which hardly ever happens with first-year artists, they received 3 or 4 inquiries for performing engagements. And they were thrilled about this. They got to play at the DIA. They got to play down in Defiance. They've done a couple Ann Arbor performances. So it was really wonderful to see them succeed after setting these tools in place.
And do you help them with contracting and negotiating?
We
and
do,
all of those?
Yes. We negotiate their contracts with performing venues. We work with the performing venue's budget. So at all times, we're looking to see how we can make this performance work and be finalized. We also then suggest outreach performances. If we're in an area that has an educational opportunity, we try to make that happen for the artist because our mission is not only developing, adult audiences, we want to make sure that we're developing audiences for the future by tapping into the young students that are in that area.
You mentioned mission. Patrick, I think that may be something that you find a little slightly different than in the major artist management companies.
You're not talking about world domination and as many dollars as you can possibly get in the door at 20% off the top.
And they're probably rarely talking about arts education. There's an artist here at WEMU that's familiar with the WEMU audiences that you represent, and that would be Mr. B.
Yes, Mr. B, it has been part of our organization for many, many years, and he has been able to branch off to Joybox Express, mm-hmm. his own nonprofit organization. A lot of our artists, we found, do find some social aspect to their career. Mr. B is an excellent example where he's been able to take this Joybox Express all over the country, his piano bike on wheels. And
the water sometimes.
Yes, and the water recently. And serve communities, arts and sports programs by going in and playing his music and talking about the importance of arts and a healthy lifestyle.
And so 40 years, you're a nonprofit. Obviously, there's probably fees associated with your artists and their work, but how do you fill the gap between the fees and making ends meet?
Sure. So as a nonprofit, we are allowed to solicit donations, and most of our budget comes from either revenue from the concerts or private donations.
And you have an event coming up to celebrate your 40th?
We do. We are kicking off our 40th anniversary on Friday, October 20th at the Stone Chalet in Ann Arbor. We are still accepting reservations. We have a few seats left, so if you'd like to come celebrate with us, you can call our office at 734-665-4029.
Or we can put that on the website,
yeah,
Patrick?
Absolutely.
Or you can email us by logging into our website and contacting us.
It's another example of something, I know you're doing the Hidden in Plain Sight program here at WEMU. This GLPAA is another one of those Hidden in Plain Sight. 40 years, not a lot of knowledge of this organization out there, but very special, and hundreds of artists over those years that have gone through your ranks and made, some of them gone on to professional careers that have taken them beyond the Great Lakes area, I would imagine.
That's right. Some of our previous performers include the Hot Club of Detroit. We've also had in Ohio, Regina Mushabach, a cellist. There's a couple Chicago groups that have been on our roster that have gone on to do great things.
Developing careers, part does, of what they
does,
do.
Does what you do exist in other places, too? I mean, are there other regional nonprofits looking at artist management in the way you are?
Not that I'm aware. Not regional nonprofits, but there are a couple emerging young concert artists out of New York. They are a nonprofit, and they deal with just the very, you know, the very limited age range of emerging artists.
And do you get to a point where an artist gets big enough that you hand them off to another entity, or are you able to keep with them if they, you know, do become crossover into more of a pop type scene, or, you know, a much larger potential audience?
We do currently have a limitation of representing artists that want to develop their career within our region. If there are artists that want to go crossover into the international, usually they go off and find a representative that will do that for them.
It's an interesting model, and certainly could be expanded into other areas of the arts as well. So thank you so much for sharing all of this with us today. And we appreciate the Great Lakes Performing Arts Associates, and congratulations on 40 years.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
This is 89.1 WEMU FM and HD1 Ypsilanti. You've just listened to Creative Impact with Deb Pollack, my co-host for this morning. Good morning. Thanks for being with us. And you can find this information shared at WEMU.org and on our Facebook page, facebook.com/WEMU FM.